Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Everything we do in life, we need to do according to the Word of God. And when you do it according to the Word of God, that's called living by faith. And so we live, we walk, we operate by faith, not by sight, not by our senses, not by our opinions, not by our opinions. We don't want to go through life just expressing our opinion. We are a people of the truth. We love the truth. Jesus said, you'll know your neighbor's opinion and it'll set you free. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Your neighbor's opinion will probably cause you to be like your neighbor. You know, it really amazes me how people, you know, the people that people will listen to and follow. You know, if you just looked at their lives, if you just considered their lives, why would you want to follow that in a lot of cases? A lot of folks are getting opinions from people that don't know where they're coming from and they don't know where they're going. They're guessing at life and messing up at every turn. And yet people are listening to them and taking their opinion on, you know, how they're supposed to do things in life. Now let's go to the one who created life, who's the author of life, who's given us life. Let's go back to him. Let's go back to the manual. Let's go back to the Word of God. And let's get instructions from him. So we don't want to live according to our opinions and walk presumptuously through this life. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. So everything we're doing in life should be by faith. We're to be being led by the Spirit of God, following the Spirit of God, following the instructions of God's Word. To do that, we've got to get our minds thoroughly renewed with the Word of God. And as we get our minds renewed to the Word of God and come to understand the nature and character of God, then we're able to make decisions that are godly decisions, God-based decisions. Amen? So we are talking about presumption, opinions, assuming things. And so we're going to continue in that tonight. The word presumption, when you look it up in the dictionary, it means an idea that is taken to be true and often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. So it's taken to be true, and then you build more things upon it, more ideas upon it that you're taking to be true, and yet none of it is known for certain to be true. But we know God's word is proven. It is the truth. Amen. So presumption is just these, you know, an idea that is taken to be true and often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. Also, the word presumption is behavior perceived as arrogant, disrespectful, and transgressing the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. You know, what is, as Christians, what is permitted and appropriate? What would be the limits? What are the boundaries that we're to stay within as Christians? The boundaries of the Bible. We stay within the boundaries of the Bible. And to go out beyond that, is not permitted. Not permitted by God. But people do it all the time. And when you do that, that is being arrogant. That is behaving arrogant. It is being disrespectful towards God. It's transgressing his word. Transgressing the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. It is very inappropriate to go outside the limits of the word of God. We want to stay within the limits of God's word. And because anything, like we said, anything that's not of faith is sin. And we saw that presumption is sin. Being presumptuous is sin. The psalmist said over in Psalm 19, verse 13, and I'm just reviewing a little bit. He says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Transgressions. Remember, one of the definitions of presumption is transgressing the limits of what is permitted and appropriate. And guess what? If I don't act presumptuously, then I'm not going to transgress. I'm not going to transgress God's word. I'm not going to sin. I shall be blameless. I shall be blameless. So we see how being presumptuous is one of the reasons why, a big reason why, people sin. People miss it. Because they get away from the word of God and they begin to assume things. They begin to follow ideas that transgress the limits of what is appropriate, which is God's word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 declares, those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Notice, they are presumptuous and self-willed. Who? Who are? Those who walk according to the flesh. Those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. So when a person's walking in the flesh, acting in the flesh, they are acting presumptuously. They have gotten away from the word of God, and they're following their feelings. They're following what they think about things. And notice about presumptuous people, they're self-willed. See, they're not led by God. They're not following him. They're opinionated. It's about their will, self-confidence, self-willed. And they're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They despise authority, despise leadership, and they're not afraid to talk about it. Not afraid to talk about the leadership. Well, that is an arrogant thing, isn't it? That is a prideful thing. And we have to watch out for that too. In the political arena and things, you know, we live in a society where the news and the news media, and you got so much bashing and bad mouthing of political leaders and things, and we're just not going to be partakers of that. I said, we're not going to be partakers. You know, we don't know the whole story about everything. God does. You know, that's why I like what the Bible says concerning Jesus when he walked the earth over in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 23, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. You know, God knows everything that's going on. God knows everything that's going on. So I like to just put things in his hands. And sometimes I hear about things that are going on in the political arena that don't appear to be good. So I'll just say, well, Lord, you see what's going on there. You're there. You're hearing their conversation. And you see, you know the motives. You know their hearts. You know what's going on. Lord, look and judge. Look and judge, Lord. See? And that's what Jesus says here. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. He didn't start reviling in return. He didn't start expressing his feelings and his opinions. A lot of people, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You know, you say something nasty to me, it made me feel bad, so then I'm going to come back and say something to make you feel bad. And there's this back and forth. That's a normal reaction of what people do. But for you and I, we commit it to him who judges righteously. Now, that doesn't mean we don't answer back. Because in committing to him who judges righteously, he might give you something to say. He might give you utterance. He might lead you to rebuke somebody. He might lead you to correct somebody. See, that doesn't mean we just sit there mute. See, a lot of times people, they don't get the whole thing. And they think, well, see, now it's, you can never return. You know, you can never come back and rebuke somebody if they're saying bad things about you. No, you see, you got to follow the Holy Spirit. You commit it to him. And sometimes he'll lead you to say something. Sometimes he'll lead you to say something, and sometimes he won't. But it's important for us to learn what he is saying, what he is doing, and just do what we see our Father do. Say what we hear our Father say. And there's times I've wanted to say something. Oh, did I want to say something, but I couldn't. Couldn't say anything about it. Then there were times I didn't want to say anything, and the Lord said, you need to say something. So we need to follow him, his instructions. We're committing it to him who judges righteously, not just reacting from our feelings, not just reacting from our opinions. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 17, and this goes right along with what we just saw in 2 Peter 2, where he says, they despise authority. They speak evil of dignitaries, leaders. Deuteronomy 17, 12 says, now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. So there, again, that presumptuous person doesn't listen to authority. Why? Because they're walking in pride. You know, a lot of times when people are walking presumptuously, they have a lot of presumptuous thinking going on in their minds. And that just basically means, you know, they already know everything. They already know, and they got it all figured out. Or they read into a lot of things. They read into so much. You really can't help them because they've already got preconceived ideas about things, preconceived ideas about you, preconceived ideas about others. And they become convinced of what they believe, even though it's not the truth. It wasn't given to them by the Holy Spirit. It's not a conviction from God. But they look at it, this is what happened. This is what they said. This is why they looked at me that way. This is why they did this. This is what, and they got to figure in their mind. They have sat on their bed. They have lied there and they have thought it through and they have concluded. This is how it is. And they are shut down on the inside and not receptive. And so you can't help people like that, because they're completely shut down. So we've got to watch. We've got to watch about coming up with conclusions about things. And so many times, you know, we want answers to things. We get into uncomfortable situations in life and things, and we want to figure it out. I got to understand why this happened. Why did they treat me that way? Why did this happen? Why is this going on? Why? And so we just have to know the answers. And so we push for an answer that God's not giving us. And so we figure something out on our own that make us feel better about the situation. Because we have to feel better about the situation. And the only way to feel better about the situation is we have to figure this out and we have to know the answer. So we make up answers. Or the devil comes along and he helps give us answers. And he'll help you, you know. And we got to say, there's a lot of things in life that we don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know, and we probably won't know until we get to heaven. And you got to be okay with that. Because if you feel like you have to know something, you just have to know the answer to something, then you're going to get yourself into a place where you are creating answers that God is not giving. And so you have to be at peace knowing, I don't know, but he knows. And if he knows, I know it's going to be okay. So I have to come to you and say, Lord, I'd really like to understand this, but you know everything. So I just thank you. Lord, just give me wisdom, revelation on it. Show me what I need to know concerning it. And I just thank you for that. And then if I don't get anything on it, then I just say, then obviously I don't need to know any more than I already know. But I'm not going to get uptight about it. I'm not going to try to figure out my future. I'm not going to figure out tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to do what I know to do. I'm going to do what is set before me and what I know to do. And a lot of times, and I don't want to get ahead, this is kind of what I had planned for next week, is talking about planning, not presumptuously, but planning prayerfully. You know, we take everything to prayer. I spend time in prayer. A big part of my prayer time is God organizing me. He'll organize my thoughts. He'll begin to show me things I need to take care of. And sometimes I'm looking for what to do, and a lot of times I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. I could be in the middle of reading the Bible. And next thing I got to take care of that, and I'll write it down. And he establishes my thoughts. And then I try to prioritize things and figure out, okay, what should I do first, and so forth and so on, you know. But it's all done, you know, prayerfully and considering the Holy Spirit, considering God and his leading me and what I should do. But a lot of times people are just, you know, they're pushing for answers. I need to know what's going to happen. I need to know about this situation. I need to know what to do. I need to know where to go. I need to know now. And they get themselves all frustrated and they put themselves in a position where they're forcing answers that God's not giving. And the devil will accommodate you. If you have to know, the devil will be glad to let you know. Of course, it won't be the truth because he's a liar. So he will tell you something that's not the truth, and then you will take it as truth, and you will go off in a direction that God never led you to go because you had to know, and you figured it out on your own. I don't have to know everything that's going on in other people's heads. I don't need to know the why behind why people do what they do. I don't need all I got to do is just look at me and make sure I'm doing what I know to do, that my life lines up with the Word of God. And you know, God knows I don't know a lot. He knows that. And so it's okay. You know, he knew what he was getting into when he became my Lord. He bought me, you know, he created me, bought me with his blood. I'm his. And so here I am. And in a lot of cases, I'm a no-not. And I'm okay with being a no-not. And he knows I'm a no-not. And so if he knows I'm a no-not, then I know it's going to be okay. Because he knows what to do with a no-not. He leads to lead him. He needs to do what needs to be done to help him to get from A to Z. Can you say amen? And, you know, don't kid yourself. You are a no-not too. Don't just sit there and look at me and go, wow, he's a no-not, huh? Wow, poor guy. Feel sorry for him. What do you know? What do you know? Well, he's taking me there, so I'm going to have to skip a page and go back there. It's not what I was planning on. Praise God. Somebody say, I'm a no-not too. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians the 8th chapter. Verse 2. And if anyone, how many anyones do we have in here? If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yes, as he ought to know. You are a no-not. So if you think you know something, you don't know anything. Do you see that? No, we have the mind of Christ. God knows everything. He establishes our thoughts and he tells us what to do. He establishes our thoughts. We're not figuring things out. He's establishing. As we think, as we meditate, and keep him involved in it prayerfully, God establishes our thoughts. And he's guiding us in life. And he knows everything. And so because he knows everything, I don't have to know everything. In fact, I don't have to know anything. I just have to know him who knows everything. Right? Just know him. He knows everything. And so we're going to get everything done that needs to get done. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. Somebody say, I will not act presumptuously. Now, there are some beautiful examples of people that have acted presumptuously in the Word of God. And these things are written to help us in life. I think a classic case of presumption is over here in Acts chapter 28. And it's when... Excuse me. It's when the Apostle Paul had, he was a prisoner of Rome. He was being taken to Rome as a prisoner. And they end up becoming shipwrecked. The boat sank, and everybody just barely made it to shore alive. And now they go over, and they are fixing a fire because it's cold. And the Apostle Paul picks up some sticks. He goes over to the fire to help get this fire going, and there's a viper in there in the sticks, and it jumps out, latches onto Paul's hand. It's a poisonous snake, and the natives know exactly what kind of snake this is, so they know this man is dead. He's doomed to die. And so Acts 28, verse 4, it says, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, this wasn't even just their thoughts. They said this to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Isn't that amazing? Incredible faith. They had no doubting. No doubt. They had no doubt. Praise God. That's how you and I want to live, right? Live by faith, man, without doubting. No doubt at all. No doubt about it. And they're talking to each other about no doubt about it. This man's, oh, yes, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. Whom though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Imagine if Paul died. What would they have put on his tombstone? This man is a murderer. I mean, he would have gone down in history as a murderer. You know, I remember there was a minister friend and another minister, another man of God, just a man of God, wonderful. You could just hear the faith in his words. When he spoke, he was just full of faith. Well, that man ended up dying suddenly, the man of God. And so I was with this other minister, and we were talking, and they said to me, they said, yeah, I really thought they were a man of God, but I guess I was wrong. Why do you guess that you were wrong? Because he died? Because fear gripped him and he was overcome with symptoms and the devil got the best of him, took advantage of him, and he died? And now, no doubt, this man was not a man of God? And so, you know, she verbalized that. But, you know, I think a lot of people, they might not say it, but they believe that way. Something goes wrong with somebody, and they look and think, I wonder what they did. You know, justice has caught up with them. God's not letting them get away with whatever they've done. I always thought they were a nice person, but, you know, something happened here to cause that. What's going on? What kind of sin is in their life? How many people know the devil doesn't just mess with sinners? He tries to mess with everybody. He's trying to work on everybody to tempt them, to fear, and take them out. So there's been plenty of people we see in the Word of God here. Look at the Apostle Paul. Was Paul a murderer? Was Paul a man of God? Did Paul have hidden sin in his life and that's why the shipwreck? Did Paul have hidden sin in his life and that's why the viper? Huh? No. No. He was a man of God. Could he have died from that viper bite? Why didn't God keep that viper from biting him? I don't know. I don't know. Why didn't God? So now we have to come up with an answer, because we have to know why didn't God stop the viper from biting him? We have to know why, don't we? So let's all think about many reasons of why this could have happened until we come up with something that we feel good about. And that's what people do. They do it all the time. A lot of times just in their heads. And then they conclude things. And once they make that conclusion, a lot of times that's it. They believe that and they'll go to their grave believing that. But thank God it doesn't end with the grave. Aren't you glad there's a judgment where we all stand before the Lord and have to give an account of things? I think that's great. A lot of people get to stand before him and go, oh, I didn't know. But you said you did know. You thought you did know. And that's why you treated my servants that way. That's why you treated my church that way. That's why you did this. That's why you did that. Because you knew. You knew. Presumptuous sin. See? Presumptuous sin. So, you know, we have to know why this would, why, you know, why didn't God stop this viper from biting him? Now, the reason why the snake didn't kill him, as we're going to see here in a second, the reason why the snake didn't kill him is because he had faith to overcome the symptoms. He had faith to overcome the symptoms. But if his faith failed at that moment and fear dominated him at that moment, he would have died. That's just like with Peter. Peter, you know, said, Lord, I never deny you. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. Notice he didn't say, but I have prayed for you that he can't do it. But I have prayed for you that the devil can't sift you like wheat, that the devil can't bring that trial and test against you. I've prayed that he cannot attack you. Jesus did not pray that. He said, I pray that your faith won't fail. Jesus was praying for him. Thank God Peter had someone in the earth praying for him. Now, Jesus isn't in that place anymore. Now he's seated in the heavenly places, and he's given that authority to us, to his church, and we need to be praying for one another and not judging one another. We need to be standing up in prayer for one another, and if someone is taken out, we need to look to ourselves and say, am I responsible for that? Should I have been one who is praying for that person? Now, we're not called to pray for everybody. But there are some people in our lives that God will hold us responsible for, like for the president, for example. He said that we're to pray for those who are in authority. That is our responsibility. If something evil happens in our government, God's holding the church responsible for that because he gave us the commission to pray, to get in faith about these things. So we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for those in authority over our life because they can be taken out. They can be overcome by the enemy, just like anybody can be overcome by the enemy. And then when it happens, instead of judging, we got to look and say, Lord, did I miss it? Did I do my part to help them? Jesus did his part for Peter. He said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen the brethren. Jesus knew by the Spirit that Peter was going to fall, have a big fall. But the reason why Peter came back is because Jesus had prayed for him. Because it was so devastating to Peter what he did. He was so devastated by his actions. Remember how, I'll never deny you? And then he denied him three times in the presence of Jesus to a little servant girl. He was devastated. And a lot of times when people become devastated about what they've done, they just quit. They lose all hope and confidence in themselves. They're so ashamed, they're overcome by guilt that they can't even lift their heads up and turn back to God anymore. And they fall away. That's what would have happened to Peter if Jesus hadn't prayed for him. But Jesus prayed it through, and he said, you're going to return to me. And when you do, strengthen the brethren. Be a strength to the body of Christ. Amen. So we need to be praying, not judging. So Peter went through the trial. He denied the Lord. He was over. Peter, I'll never deny you. Face man. Walking on water man. He denied the Lord. Did he do that? He did. Why did Jesus allow that to happen? I don't know. But it happened. Because we live in a hostile environment. And that's just the world we live in right now. And so it's important for us to keep our faith strong and to encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest anyone be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and fall into presumption, fall into fear, and fall and are overcome by the enemy. We can't be trying to figure out what kind of secret sin is in a person's life. Now, sometimes there are sins that lead to people's troubles. But not every time. Not every time. Sometimes you do know. You do know. Sometimes you don't. But don't judge things according to the flesh. Our knowing such things is not according to the flesh. It has to be by the Spirit of God. And people form all kinds of opinions about people based on something they said or did back here. That the moment they walked out of your presence, they repented. They fell on their knees. They got it right. Washed in the blood. Doesn't exist anymore. And they've made adjustments. And that's not who they are anymore. But you remember them for that. You don't want people to do that to you. Where they remember you for that. And you're labeled for the rest of you. That's it. When they think of you, they think of that. And you're labeled forever. That is so presumptuous. That is so wicked. That is so hostile and sinful against God. To treat people that way, to have that. We don't know what's going on. Let's get over to the love of God and believe the best. Let's believe the best. God's doing a work in their life. Perhaps things are, by now things have turned around maybe for them. If not, bless God. We just trust God. God's working. And who knows, a year from now it could all be completely different. So let's just not worry about it. We're a work in progress, and every human being on the face of this earth is a work in progress. And we don't want to just cut people off and shut them, you know, just shut them off, cut them out of our life. And some folks, you got to cut fellowship with them, but even that, we do it out of love. And we do it with the hope that it'll help turn them back to Him. We're looking for the best in everybody. Can you say amen? So here these natives, they say, no doubt this man is a murderer. They are so confident. It's amazing. In fact, a couple natives there, they were writers, and they wrote a biography about the Apostle Paul. And they wrote a biography about this man that came to their island who was a murderer. And then they took that inspiration and they shared it with all the natives on the island, and it became a number one bestseller. And all the natives came to believe that this man was a murderer. They loved the writing so much, they put it in their educational system. And they teach all the children that this is what happened to this man. He was an apostle, a Christian, and he came to our island, and he was a murderer. And the story just widens. Gets bigger and bigger. Blown out of proportion. I wonder how many things folks have read and embraced as truth, and it was a complete fairy tale. You know, there's a lot of educated people that think that because they read a lot, they're smart. You know, they read a lot. They take great pride in their library, you know. I had an uncle. When I went over his house, he wanted to show me all his books. I mean, he was a professor. He wrote books that you couldn't understand when you read it because the vocabulary was like words we don't use on earth. And so, you know, but I mean, just amazing books. But people think they're smart because they read a lot of books. But the truth of the matter is, it depends on what books you're reading. If you're reading a big book and it's written by a dummy, then you're going to become a dummy. You understand what I'm saying? It's who you're reading after that really matters. And how much of it is the truth, and how much is this guy's ideas that he's putting forth as the truth. There's tons of that. And what's it doing? Making people more presumptuous. They're getting all kinds of ideas about things that they're taking as true, and they're building more ideas upon it. And you got all this deception in the world today because of it. And we have to understand that. Does it line up to the word? Is what a person's saying, does it line up? Well, what does the word say about it? That's a good thing to ask yourself. Ask people. Well, what does the word say about it? You know, you see things and people go, oh, that is awesome. And I look at it and I go, that ain't the word. There's a lot of people that are out there, Christians, that are tweeting things. And they're writing all kinds of little sayings. And a lot of Christians, you know, they're not judging it by the word of God. They're just looking at it going, pray, like, share, smiley face. They're just all over it. And you know, it's like, well, is that scriptural? Huh? Is it scriptural? It's coming from a minister. It's supposed to be scriptural, but is it? You hear me? There's a lot of stuff out there. It's just opinions and feelings. See, let's read into what we're reading with the Word of God. Let's take the Word in there. See, that's how we got to think now. We can do this. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be a theologian. You just have to have the Holy Spirit and a heart for God and a heart for the truth. And if you have a heart for the truth and you got this as your final authority and the greatest book you'll ever read in life, if you have that as your, this is the greatest book I will ever read in my entire life. If you have that as your final authority, as your attitude in life, then that's what you will do. Things will come at you and you go, that contradicts the word. That is not the Bible. That is not the truth. That is the wisdom of men. That's the wisdom of men. So we don't want to be like the natives. No doubt. Well, why don't you have any doubt? What scripture do you have? See, what does the Bible say? That's the only time we can say we have no doubt, is when we got the word of God. Not something out of context, but we got the truth. And then we could say, no doubt. No doubt. Then we could speak as one who has authority. Then we could speak with total confidence. But when it's just opinion, you got to go, well, I'm thinking this, I'm feeling this, but it's not the final answer. Notice it's over in Acts chapter 15. So I was just talking about thinking things through, pondering it, talking about it, counseling, get a group together. Let's discuss this idea. And we're talking, is that okay to do? Yes, it's okay to do. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors there's safety, right? So we come together, we're planning our battle strategy, you know, whatever it is. We're looking at stuff. But then there's this, Acts chapter 15, let's go to verse 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then he begins to share the things that they should abstain from and so forth. But notice that, verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Now listen, we would be a whole lot better at knowing what the Holy Spirit feels good about and what he doesn't feel good about if we refused to walk in presumption. If we were people that refused to walk in presumption, it would make us have to listen more for him. But because we get very satisfied with our opinions and our feelings, and we come up with our own answers many times, we don't really press in to hear from him. And so people wonder why I don't really hear from the Holy Spirit like that. Well, you don't really hear from the Holy Spirit because you don't need to. Because half the time, you're coming up with the answer yourself. But when you have to get your answers from him, then you will start to hear from the Holy Spirit. You'll start to recognize what is him and what is not. When he is your absolute authority on the decisions you make in life. And of course, he and the word are one. Are you following me? So if we would forsake presumption and say, listen, it's not about my, I have to know, how does the Holy Spirit, you know, what does he say about this? Now, he might not say something about it, but you can sense this is good with God. This is good with God. If it's good with God, then we can do it. Then it's good with us. Right? So you'll ponder things, you'll look at some stuff, and it'll be like, this seems good, this seems good. And then you come back to the Holy Spirit. He's there, he's with you. And it's like, yeah, you got a witness. There's a witness. Yeah, this is good. This is right. This is okay. Now sometimes, Spirit of God, he'll initiate things. He'll just tell you flat out, you know. Or he'll just put something in your heart. He'll just drop something in your heart. And this is what he put in my heart. I know this is what we're supposed to do. I'm not sure why it's not turning out exactly the way I thought it would turn out, but that's okay because it was just my thought. Anyhow, he never actually told me how it was going to turn out. A lot of times he says things to us and gives us stuff, and then we come up with what we mean, what that will turn out to be like. We come up with what we think that means, No, just do what he says and just understand if that's what you think, that's what you think. But that might not be exactly how it's going to turn out just because that's the way you think. But what he told you to do, that you do. Because sometimes he will give you something to do. And then when you do that and you're thinking, okay, I do this, then this is what's going to happen. And I've had many times where I did this because he told me to do this and that did not happen. But instead, something else, he took me in a different direction. But I had to get to this to be able to see that. And the plans completely changed and we went that way. But we had to go this plan in order to get me in a position to see that plan. Because I couldn't see that plan back here because I had things inside me blocking me from seeing what was over there. So he shows me to do this and I do this thinking, oh, this is the way we're going. It's like, no, that's not where we're going to go. It's not happening. It's not, why isn't it happening? I know I heard from God, and I don't understand why it's not happening. No, it's got to happen. God told me to do this. God told me to do this. And we're going to break down the door and make this happen because we think because he told us to do this, that's what that meant, but that's not what he meant. What he wanted to do is just get you here and then get you to look over here. And then you think, that's it. That's it. You go there, and you hit up against the wall. Because this is as far as it goes. And you think, no, he told me to go this way, and I know I'm supposed to go this way. No, you don't push. You just sit there and go, huh. Well, I did what I knew to do. Got me to this point. I'm looking at a wall. Don't know where to go from here. But I know everything I need to know when I need to know it. And we stay there a while. Maybe you stay there a year looking at a wall. Be happy with staring at the wall. You know, you got to be okay if things don't turn out the way you thought they was going to turn out.
You get so devastated. It didn't go the way I thought at all. I had these expectations of this is how it was going to turn out. It didn't turn out like that at all.
Well, you shouldn't have those expectations. Did God tell you that was going to happen?
I mean, I got married thinking he was going to just bring me flowers and sing me love songs. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Well, you're dumb. And you should have known that going into the marriage, you're dumb. So you shouldn't have figured that you knew what was going to happen because you didn't know what was going to happen. You assumed what was going to happen, and your assumption has caused you heartbreak. But what you should have done is gone into the marriage because you knew it was right, not assuming that he's Mr. Right. See, just because the marriage is right doesn't mean he's Mr. Right or she's Mrs. Right. It could mean issues. But you work through the issues. See, people get devastated. People come up, you know, with all kinds of plans. They come up with all kinds of plans. And it's not the plan. It's not the plan. You started this church 25 years ago. I didn't have a lot of preconceived ideas about stuff. But there's a lot of people that didn't make it 25 years because they had preconceived ideas, and after 5 years, they looked and said, it's not happening the way it's supposed to happen. Something must be wrong. Something must be wrong. I know something's wrong. The people are telling me they must. Something must be wrong. So something must be wrong.
I must be missing. Something missing. I don't know what.
And they cause all kind of confusion for themselves, and they talk themselves right out of the will of God for their life. Because they had ideas about things. It didn't happen that way, so something must be wrong. Well, maybe that was never going to happen. Maybe it was just go here and do what you're doing. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't have to know everything. Don't have to know everything.
God led me into this. God led me into this.
And therefore, it should have turned out this way. Who said? Children of Israel, right? Brings them out of Egypt. God is leading them. He leads them right to the ocean. They don't have boats. Pharaoh's coming. God's not stopping Pharaoh. Why isn't God stopping? Moses! Why isn't God stopping Pharaoh? I don't know why. God, why aren't you stopping Pharaoh? Will you talk to me about Pharaoh? Can you say something to me about Pharaoh? He's getting pretty close. And I'm wondering, why are you not stopping Pharaoh? He looks very mad. right? Now, I know you led me this way, but there's an ocean here, see? And Pharaoh is here, and there's an ocean here, and there's mountains here. I don't know what to do. And so, you know, Moses didn't know what to do, but he really should have known what to do because God already told him what to do. God told him to follow the cloud. And so he should have kept going. But he didn't. He stopped. He stopped. He should have done what he knew. God expected him actually to know what to do, which was just lift his rod and split that sea. But anyway, he got down on his knees and started crying out to God. He prayed. And God said, "What are you crying to me for? Tell the children of Israel, go forward. Now lift up your rod and divide the sea." Don't you know that by now? How many times have we used the rod? How many plagues have we? How many times have we used the rod? Do you got the rod yet? Use the rod. Stop praying to me. Stop crying to me about it. Sometimes it's just do what you know to do. Obey. Stop crying about it. This is not how I pictured it. I didn't picture it this way. Well, you shouldn't have had pictures. Right? Why didn't you have pictures? You shouldn't have had pictures. A lot of times people have pictures. And God never gave them the camera. God never gave them the film. God was not a part of the pictures. He created all kinds of pictures about their life. Some people find pictures in magazines. They cut them out and put it over all around their hotels, and they just make their confessions. They got pictures. And then God says, Charlie,
yes, Lord, go to that tribe in the island of Pamu, and there you will boil water and catch fish for your food.
Lord, what about the yacht? I'm confessing yacht. I got a yacht, Lord. I got a big house, Jesus. I got the big house. I believe it for the big house, Jesus.
Go to Pamu.
Jesus, you know I can't do that. No, you can't, because you got all kinds of ideas that now you've got to die to. You've just got to lay them on the altar. You got to take all these ideas and lay them on the altar. A lot of people can't do it. They can't do it. They've built their ideas. They've built their world, man. They got it all figured out already. They're believing God. And then God says, go do that. Go to Pamu. Not even Peru, just Pamu. Not a fun place to live. Little island. Like these natives, no doubt. Let's get back to the natives. No doubt this man is a murderer. Yeah. Stop. Watch about your own dreams. You know, you got these people. They tell you, now listen, you gotta believe for it. If this, you know, when I was believing for a wife, I wrote it all down. She's gonna have brown hair, she's gonna have blue eyes, she's gonna have, you know, and I wrote everything down. Her weight, her size, and are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And you think this is faith? You think this is faith? This is presumption. This is sin. This is ridiculous. I'm believing for a man. He's going to have a lot of money. He's going to have this. He's going to be a minister. He's going to be this. He's going to be the godly man. Oh, my goodness. People come up with all these ideas. And meanwhile, you marry a plumber. Nothing against plumbers. I was just thinking of Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he was a plumber. You know, you don't know what the plumber's going to turn out to be, but you want the minister. But God says, no, it's a plumber. Now, someday he'll be a Smith Wigglesworth, but right now he's a plumber. So marry the plumber. See, but we come up with all kinds of ideas. We you know, let God, can God do this thing? Let him just go ahead and tell us. Let him lead us and guide us and confirm our decisions, right? Or correct us You know, if we don't have a witness, don't keep going. All right? And if your witness doesn't agree with the word or people in your life, God's put an authority over your life. You know, I've had people, they've done their thing, and I look and I go, now, wait a second. I type up a list of things for them. I say, no, that decision couldn't be, well, God is leading us. Well, I understand. But you see, there's 12 things that you're violating in the word of God in your decision. That's 12 things you're violating. And so, I don't care. I know I've heard from God. You got 12 things you're violating here in the word. I got 12 scriptures to show that this is wrong.
I don't care. I've heard from God.
Okay, okay. Hey, good. We'll see you on the other side. Okay. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. The word's a final authority in our life. And that's going to help us to really be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting, they had expectations, confident expectations that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. I mean, these guys are like medical professionals. They've seen this so many times. They've come, you know, you come rolling into the emergency room. It's like, okay, well, what's going to happen is you're going to swell up. Your eyeballs are going to pop out of your head. You're going to break out that rash. Yeah, it's only going to get worse. We'll do what we can for you, but we might have to cut things off. Thank God we're not victims. We're not victims! Paul wasn't a victim. These medical professionals, they all had it all figured out. You could just see them, you know. They're just standing there. They had their clipboard. You know, they got their clipboard. Has anyone in your family ever died of a snake bite? I think my great-grandfather was bit by a snake. Yep. Well, we've seen this happen many times. I'm afraid there's nothing we could do. You're probably going to fall down dead any second. But now watch this. But these professionals, these guys, they know and they expect, no doubt. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. The guy went from a murderer to a god. Can you imagine these guys? And no doubt he's a god. No doubt. No doubt he's a god. That's why he was able to actually bring great healing to the island. Miracles started happening because he was a god. I mean, they were receptive. Whatever he said, he was now god of the island. That's pretty good, huh? Didn't they do that to Jesus? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right? A few days? A couple of days before they had him crucified. So one day they're out there going, Hosanna to him who comes. It's the king of, you know, the Messiah is here. And they're palm branching it. And I mean, they're excited. He's coming in there on the donkey. It's like, 3 days later, crucify him! Crucify him, the murderer! That's why, don't build your hope on people. You're so wonderful. You're everything we've been praying for. I don't know how many people come to this church and said, I was what they were believing God for. And then I never saw him again. It really broke my heart. It caused me to really struggle. Because they told me they loved me. They told me they were believing God for me. I thought they were going to be a big part of this church. They lasted not even a week, some of them. I'm telling you, Kevin, you're wonderful. This teaching. I've been praying, oh, God, send us a teacher. Send someone that knows the word. Oh, God, thank you. And they never came back again. Flattering fakers. Almost believed a couple of them. Almost, but I didn't. I never really did. I just go, oh, it's nice. That's nice. Because people will love you today and they'll crucify you tomorrow. They will. So that's why we always got to come back to what does God say about me? Because I know what he says about me today, he'll be saying about me tomorrow. And that's what he's going to be saying about you. Amen. So you could sleep at night. It's going to be all right. God's not flaky. He's not changing on us. He is the truth. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.